What's up, everybody? Hey, I want to welcome you to Engaging Heaven today. I need to tell you that you were created for the supernatural. God has a plan for your life. In the next few moments, we're going to feed your spirit. We're going to cut through the fluff and get to the stuff. You're rocking with Engaging Heaven today. What's up, everybody? Hope you're doing well. Here we are, Engaging Heaven today. I'm James Levesque. Monday morning. Feeling good. It's going to be a great week. Thank you so much. We are well over 1,000 subscribers on Podbean. So thank you to all the new followers and for making us a part of your day. Join us again every single Monday through Friday. Doing good. Been preaching a lot. That's why my voice is a little shot. But we're going to make it happen. We're going to call this episode God's Original Recipe. Something crazy happened on April 21st, 1985. Not sure what you were doing. I was probably four. Pepsi, the soda company, took out like a page article on the inside of the New York Times. And what they said, they were making an article about Coca-Cola. And what they said was this. This is what they wrote. After 87 years of going eyeball to eyeball, the other guy just blinked. And they were talking about Coca-Cola because what Coca-Cola did for the months prior, look, their sales were going down. They were realizing they were losing their grip on Pepsi. Pepsi taste was a lot sweeter, and Coke figured they need to do something different. And so they went to the marketing research and they figured out, what do we need to do? And then they said, well, we need to be progressive. We need to be more forward thinking. What we're going to do is change the recipe for Coca-Cola. So they had all these chemists come in, they changed everything, they doctored around, and then they went and did a big focus group. And they said, what do you guys think of this thing? We're going to call it New Coke. We're just going to call it New Coke. And everybody in the focus group was like, this is disgusting. And then Coca-Cola was like, well, we're just going to go to our corporate sponsors and ask them what they think. And of course, the corporate sponsors were like, wow, this is great. Because all they wanted was money. And then with not much research and really not much fanfare, Coke launched New Coke. To where Pepsi jumped in and said, wow, you're our enemy, and you just ruined what you had. So hence, after 87 years of going eyeball to eyeball, they just blinked like they were having a staring contest. And the months that followed went really bad for Coca-Cola. They lost a lot of their money. Things even went worse down on the front page of the papers, you know. People were dumping Coke in the streets. I mean, gosh, if there was Twitter, Coca-Cola would be shut out of business, man. Because the people down south, dude, Coca-Cola is like up there with water for like hydration. You don't mess with Coca-Cola in the south. Atlanta would have been burned to the ground if they messed with Coca-Cola today. So then Coke was scrambling how to fix what they just did. They brought in another marketing firm to kind of do research and figure out, you know, what went wrong. They pay this guy $1.8 million. He comes in, goes through the whole organization, try to figure out what went wrong. He does all this data research and crunches all these numbers. And he sits down with the main marketing team of Coca-Cola. And they paid him $1.8 million. And here was his question, his final question to the board and the CEO and the trust holders of Coca-Cola. He said, I've come to my conclusion, and here's the question I need to pose to you. Why did you change the recipe? Side note, you could have paid me like $4 and a couple Cokes, and I would have came up with this. If they would have just listened to Mama June down up in Atlanta, Georgia somewhere, she would have said the same thing. Why did you change? For 87 years, for 100 years, Coca-Cola had the same product. And it was addictive and crazy. And chances are, if you're listening to this, you probably are drinking Coke, which you shouldn't. But for years, it didn't. It worked. And because of one little bit of a slump in sales and a little bit of scrambling, they ruined what they had. So they know what to do. They ended up deciding that they were going to have new Coke, and then they were going to, for a short time, introduce what they called Classic Coke. And Classic Coke was the original. Well, Classic Coke sales flew to the moon, and nobody wanted new Coke. And 3 months later, after revamping and standing firm, and this company is not going to hold to an old ideology, and we're progressive, and there's no recipe that we're going to be stuck on, they put a bullet to the head of New Coke, and they moved on to where they are today. But it's so interesting that when we feel like there's turmoil, or we feel like there's things around us that are a little unsettling, we're tempted to change the recipe. And the recipe is God's recipe for life. And the Lord gave us a Bible. He gave us a guidebook on how to live. And just because it's not popular, and just because it might not be, you know, maybe all the rage right now or the new fad, doesn't mean that we change the recipe. Truth is still truth, no matter how we feel. And so today we're going to break it down a little bit and kind of, you know, go into what God's recipe is, how we have an abundant life, and ultimately how when difficult times come, you don't move. You stand firm. You're rocking with Engaging Heaven today.
Rebecca here. We want to thank you for tuning into the Engaging Heaven Today podcast. As always, please subscribe to our daily devotionals. And when you get a moment, leave feedback and let others know how you're being blessed. You can find more information at www.engagingheaven.com.
We're back, everybody, Engaging Heaven today. And we're talking about God's original recipe. Look, there's a way that he's laid out in the scripture for you to live. And we've talked about it before. We don't change it based on culture. We don't change it based on popularity. You can drive through, especially in New England, most of the great cities in New England. And, you know, we have a courthouse in New London. It's a big red, you know, sprawled out courthouse, and it really was never a courthouse. It was one of the Methodist Church headquarters. And what happens is John Wesley comes to America and he preaches holiness and the fear of the Lord and salvation. And when he dies, a whole nother generation doesn't preach that same message. Look, the message you live is very important. The message you preach is essential to the fruit in your life and where you're going to go long term. And so, you know, the Methodist movement decide that they're just not going to, you know, stand for the same principles, and they see numbers dwindling and they want to, like, change the recipe. So now in Connecticut, they ordain homosexual ministers and they let the most ungodly things come in. Look, that dude would be like rolling in his grave, John Wesley. Why? Because you want to water the message down to appeal to more people. You want to, you know, churches in America have lost their altar calls. There are churches that feel like if you do an altar call, then you're going to offend people. Isn't that the point of altar calls? Why our worship services have been cut down to, you know, an hour dry cleaning service? Why we don't make room for the Holy Spirit? We don't take time out. And it's almost like God's being, you know, is slowly eliminated, so this worldly form of Christianity comes in. When did it ever become, like, attractive to worship in the dark? That's so bizarre to me. we've turned Christianity into this contemplative, like, dude, if you turn the lights off and play slow music, I'm going to start wondering, why am I single? Why am I fat? Why am I broke? Like, nothing good happens in the dark. Like, that's like a club atmosphere. Like, what are you even doing? But that's what people do. They change the recipe from when it originally was. Look, you want to know what God wants to do? Read his word. Everything Jesus, I talk about the eye test. If I dropped you on this earth and you didn't know Christianity and you never knew that God, you know, God existed, but, and I give you a book and I said, this is true. Believe the book and look in the book and just believe it and live it and establish it. You would not look at this current culture of Christianity if you never were unchurched before and you never had a barren understanding of God and you read the word and you looked around, you would not put those two things together. We've walked away from those things that we know is true. I'm going to tell you one thing that you have to do in this hour, and it's to put on the armor of God. Ephesians 6 lays out the armor of God. Man, look, we need to put these things on daily. I don't think it needs to be a big ritual, but you better be mindful of being filled and equipped and protected and prepared for every day. And here's what Ephesians 6 says in Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, look, you're going to have the day where the sales are slumped. You're going to have the day where you're going to feel like Pepsi's winning. When the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground. I wish Coca-Cola knew this. Stand your ground. And after you have done everything, stand. Wait, come again? Stand your ground. And when you've done everything you know to do, don't move. That is the secret to an abundant life. What do you know is true? Jesus heals, he saves, he delivers. He's my Prince of Peace. He's my provider. I know his word. Call out to him. I know his word. We fast and pray. We believe God. We study his word. We pray. Prayer is so essential for the Christian life. When we have done everything we know to do, eliminate altar calls. No. When we've done everything we know to do, change our message. No. No. We're not changing our message because it's not popular. We can't do it. We're not in the business. Look, the Bible says that the gospel is offensive. It's foolish to people that wouldn't understand. I'm not wanting to take the gospel and mince it to a point where it's not the gospel anymore. Yes, we reach souls. Yes, we change lives. Yes, we want the gospel to go to unreached people groups of the world. But if you're misleading people with a Christianity that's not real and you're not equipping people to change, and if you listening to me right now are not receiving the full gospel, you're being misled. You're being deceived at some points in your life. And your response to trials, your response to pressure, your response to warfare will show where you are with God. What do we run to? And if we've done everything we know to do, what are we doing? Are we kneeling? Are we falling down? Are we quitting? Are we retreating? Are we, you know, running away from what we know God wants us to believe in? No, we still stand. Because your breakthrough is on the other side of standing firm. And the truth of God's word is a message that's going to outlast time. No fads needed. So I want you, as we go today, to be really mindful of God's word and his promises and make a decision. You're not going to live a compromised life. You're not going to compromise the message, compromise his word. What he said he can do, he will do. Every word he's ever spoken over you will come to pass. Every word he's spoken in your heart will come to pass. Do not lose heart. If you feel like you've been standing and you've done everything you can do, stand. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow. You've been rocking with Engaging Heaven today.
On behalf of Pastor James Levesque, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Engaging Heaven Today podcast. If you're ever in the Connecticut area, join us at Engaging Heaven Church. We're the one church with two locations, New London and West Haven. For more details, go to our website at www.engagingheaven.com.